scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, let's get after it. It is Tuesday, January 28th, and welcome to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Whew, Vix, I thought we weren't going to get on for a second there, but we figured it out thanks to Cam Hughes and Logo and Shen and everybody back at the station for figuring everything out. But hey, we made it on. This hour of Flames Talk from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome is underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. What's going on, buddy?
I thought it was my sheer presence that rattled everything here. Yeah, glad to know that it's not my fault for once.
You cause everything to malfunction. I can understand it, too.
I don't know whether to be complimented or insulted.
It's really neither, honestly.
All right.
Okay, Flames getting set to kick off a three-game homestand. They're finally back on home ice for a somewhat extended stretch of time here. Boy, that was a crazy stretch on the road where they played 7 of 9 on the road. It was supposed to be 8 of 10, but they had that postponed game against the LA Kings. And so as they return home, Flames will be playing without Kevin Ball again Tuesday night against Washington. As he continues to recover from the injury he sustained Thursday night versus Minnesota, we think it's a concussion, but we don't know for sure. But, you know, it feels like it's probably a concussion.
Safe to say upper body, I would think.
Yep, that's probably fair. And when you look at Calgary's blue line for this game against the Capitals, I don't know why it sunk in for this game and maybe not the game Sunday against Winnipeg, but it really sunk in when taking a look at three new D pairings and taking a look at just the way the six defensemen shape up, just how much you miss a guy like Ball when he's not in the lineup and how important he is to what this group does. Now, it doesn't sound like it's going to be too long, as we've been telling you, and this was head coach Ryan Huska on Tuesday morning when asked for an update on Kevin Ball.
He's still being evaluated. I think it's, from what I understand, it's looking positive for us. But yesterday was Chopper's funeral, so we didn't really get our hands on him like we probably would have liked to.
So that's a pretty important update that it feels like, sounds like it's moving in a positive direction, number one. And you take a look at the pairings, and you start to really understand how different things look and how much gets thrown out of whack when you take Ball out or you split up Ball and Anderson, which has been one of the most used, one of the most together pairings across the NHL. So now the D pairings against Washington Tuesday night look like this. Hanley with Anderson once again. Jake Bean is projected to move on to a pairing with Mackenzie Weegar. That's how they were going through D pairings on Tuesday morning. And Tyson Barrie returns to the lineup for the first time in more than 2 months. Barrie on the left side with Braden Pahal staying on the right. So that's kind of what we're talking about right now. Hanley with Anderson, Bean with Weegar, Barrie with Pahal is what we're expecting. But It really does impact, and even away from just breaking up the pairing, Ball brings size, he's really strong defensively, he allows Rasmus Anderson to open up his game that much more, he's atop the NHL when it comes to stick checks with that absolutely massive stick that he carries around. Like, Kevin Ball makes an impact, and thus you lose him for now a second consecutive game. Boy, it really does seem noticeable that one of those top three guys, Ball, Anderson, Weegar, when you don't have one of those guys in, it sure does feel like it trickles down everywhere, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and I don't say this to disparage any of the other defensemen on the roster, but it really feels like the Flames have three top four defensemen in Anderson, Weegar, and Ball, and when one of them is absent, it makes that even more glaring. The depth on defense. I know it was one of the biggest question marks I had coming into the season was, okay, you've got Weegar, Anderson, and then a whole bunch of unknowns. And to be perfectly honest, Ball was one of those unknowns to me. He had played a full season with the New Jersey Devils, but would he have played a full season if they were fully healthy? They had injuries to just about every defenseman on that roster, some significant, some week to week, some month to month. Fact of the matter is, Ball played all 82, but we didn't know what he would be as a member of the Calgary Flames. And lo and behold, he's established himself quite well to the point where he's one of those three defensemen that averages over 20 minutes a night. And you mentioned some of the things that he brings. He is an absolute unicorn on that blue line with his size. He can play physical. He has that really long reach. He's a real important stabilizer, I think, for Rasmus Anderson, allowing Anderson to do what he does best out on the ice, and having that reliable, dependable partner in Ball really helps Anderson do what he does best out on the ice.
Yep.
So suddenly when you're without him for one game or two games or potentially three games, it just becomes more glaring that the Calgary Flames as a whole right now in the NHL roster might not necessarily have the horses to slot, probably to the point where we're seeing Joel Hanley in a top pair situation. We're seeing Jake Bean, as you mentioned, elevated alongside Mackenzie Weegar. You're seeing Tyson Barrie play his first NHL game since November 12th. This still could go okay for the Calgary Flames. I'm not suggesting that the sky is falling or anything, because Ball will be absent for a couple of games, but it just goes to show you how important a piece Ball has become on this blue line.
This was Mackenzie Weegar. It was you who asked him in the locker room Tuesday morning about not having Kevin Ball and what you miss without him when he's not in the lineup.
He's been a big, big piece for the back end this year. You know, he's one of those guys that he's shown that he's almost irreplaceable for us. He's a big body with a big reach, who's playing shutdown minutes against top lines in the league. But it's, you know, I'm sure Husk and everybody's talked about is that next man up mentality. You know, we're confident in our back end, and you know, everybody's willing to step up when there's needed to be. But we're gonna miss him while he's out, and hopefully we get him back as quickly as we can.
Has his impact surprised you?
A little bit. I had no clue really who he was beforehand. I guess just playing in the West, and you don't really see him as much. But a little bit of he did surprise me. Yeah, I. But it's a good surprise. I'm happy that he's found himself in a great spot, and he's taking advantage of the opportunity that he's getting. So he's a great guy. We love having him, and I'm happy that he's making the most of it.
That's like when you think about it. That's a pretty important acquisition in terms of what you got from New Jersey for Jacob Markstrom. And look, Jacob wanted to go, and New Jersey really wanted Markstrom and had wanted Markstrom for, you know, the better part of 6-7 months, whatever it was. But with Craig Conroy not in a great trading position, just based on all that was out there, all the swirling innuendo, for him to get Markstrom to New Jersey, get the first round pick, and get a core player, because I think that's exactly what Ball turned into.
Yep.
Is a core. He's only 24 years old.
You got to keep that in mind, because when you look at him and you see him, he looks much older. He's got such a calm demeanor. Like you feel like he's in his late 20s or early 30s with how he kind of acts. So that's an important thing to remember, too. He fits the age range of what the Flames are doing to a T.
So you think about that, and that's why you look at that trade, and we know that it was a close trade. We know that for whatever reason, a deal to send Markstrom to New Jersey went off the rails prior to the trade deadline, but the deal that they got in the summer when they reconvened and made the trade happen this time, it's a pretty good return. You get a guy like Ball who's going to fit potentially with this group for the long-term future. I do believe there's a desire on Calgary's side to sign him long-term, and whether or not they're able to do like a 6-year deal or something like that, I'm not sure. But I think at the very least there would be an openness, and Ball has found himself a place where he's never really had the opportunity to play this high in the lineup, and he's making the absolute best of it. So I give him a lot of credit. I'm fully on board with the idea of signing Ball long-term. I think that's a really, really worthy endeavor for the Flames to go after. And you definitely realize how important he is when he's out of the lineup now for a second straight game. And if you're the Flames, you're hoping he comes back before the Four Nations. If that doesn't happen, like if it would mean rushing it, especially if we are dealing with a concussion here, if like you're going to have to rush it for him to be back in time for the pre-Four Nations schedule, then maybe don't let him have that extra 2 weeks to get ready and return. But if he can be back before that without it being a rush, that would probably be the ideal. But yeah, it just, this is, for whatever reason, looking at the lineup, watching morning skate, and understanding what things are going to look like against the number one team in the NHL and the Capitals, it really just drove home how important Ball is on this team and how much they're going to miss him for however long he's out here.
Yeah, and I just want to circle back to the trade for a little bit, and I won't go on a long side tangent to it, but what it did is it freed up $5 million in cap space while the Flames aren't using it, so that maybe that's not as important. You get a first-round pick, very important. You get Ball, who's your number three defenseman, and who knows how it shakes out down the road when you fully flush out your defense, whether he's a number three, a number four, or a number five. But you've got a valuable piece added to your blue line that can be a member of your team for a significant amount of time, and you freed up the crease for Dustin Wolf. Whereas if Markstrom was still here, I don't necessarily know if we'd see Wolf as frequently as we have. So very key trade for the Flames. But to get back to Ball, I did not have the expectation that he would step into a lineup and suddenly play 21 minutes a night and get 0.3 points per game. That's not his necessary forte, generating offense, but generating at a good clip, and has just been a really significant piece to that top pairing along with Rasmus Anderson. Full marks to Conroy for, and the scouting staff, for identifying Ball as a player to target in a trade like this.
A market inefficiency.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Take a shot every time you hear that.
That's exactly what it was. Yep. It really was an opportunity for them to say, hey, we've targeted this player. He's playing a little further down New Jersey's lineup. We would like to move Jacob to the Devils. Is this a guy you'd be willing to move? Eventually they said yes. They still got the first round pick, which they have yet to cash in on. And yeah, I think it's a really, really nice acquisition for the Flames, and a big, big addition and a big part of Craig Conroy's kind of master plan to get younger on the fly and bring some core guys in that you can work with going forward. Ray in Calgary writes on the text line. Text line open at 960-960 if you're listening live with us. With the injuries on defense and with the opportunities to young forwards, when do we see a young defenseman get a chance? It's a good question.
Yep.
It's not going to be in this game against Washington. They sent Tyson Berry down on a conditioning loan on Friday. The very next day, Ball gets hurt. And so it's an immediate switch just like that. And Wright comes Berry back up after getting two games in, 3 points in two games for the Wranglers against San Diego over the weekend. But I don't think it was the plan for him to just be down there for two games. But all of a sudden, Ball gets hurt. Berry's played two games. Now you've got an opportunity to get a guy back in who hasn't played since November 12th, as you say. I think you can understand why they did that. So I think it's Berry first, see how he does. You know what you have in Miramanov, good or bad. I think you have a pretty good idea in terms of what you've got in Berry. And when you get a little bit more of an indication, because we still don't have a real timeline in terms of how long Ball's going to be out, but once you get a little bit of a better idea of how long you're going to be without him for, well, then maybe a Kuznetsov or maybe a Solovyov are guys that they look at. But right now, they've got the eight active guys on their blue line with Berry up because Ball's not on IR as it stands right now. So you kind of had to go Tyson Berry when you really think about it, or then you would have had nine defensemen on your roster.
Yeah, I think it comes down to two things, and that is the status of Ball moving forward. If he's somebody that you think is more day-to-day as opposed to week-to-week, then you don't necessarily have to do anything. And then the second element of that is, what does Tyson Berry give you in his first game in 2 months? More than 2 months. And if you're satisfied with what he gives you, then you can go right back to him. If he's not, that puts you in a little bit of a predicament, if you will, because I know from my perspective, I wasn't thrilled with Daniil Miramanov's last outing. So if you come to a situation where you've got a couple of right-shot defensemen that you aren't necessarily enamored with how they've played of late, then maybe you can go down. And the thing to keep in mind, too, is the Wranglers are here in Calgary up until the weekend. So you do have the opportunity for a quick recall and a quick demotion. Again, if Ball isn't short-term and you find yourself having a roster spot to enable yourself to do that, whether that's Ball to IR and, he'll be out at least to Saturday if that's the case by doing so, because you have to be a minimum of 1 week on IR, then you can see potentially a rotation of a defenseman coming up, particularly a left shot, because you've got Tyson Berry right now playing as a right shot defenseman playing the left side.
You do kind of have to feel nice for Tyson Berry.
Yes.
Finally got into game action over the weekend. I'm not sure that he went down there expecting to then be playing three games in four nights, just like the Flames are, and to be getting in for a game on Monday in the NHL. I'm not convinced that Tyson Barry was expecting that, but he spoke a little bit earlier on Tuesday about his return to the lineup. As you mentioned, November 12th, the last time that he played an NHL game.
I feel ready to go. I think if you would have asked me before I played those two games, it would have been kind of second guessing it. It's tough when you don't play for that long stretch, but I definitely felt good to get my feet under me and get some reps, and I feel good.
What's important over a stretch like that as you're practicing but not getting in?
I think staying patient, staying positive. There's some long mornings when you're getting bag skated. You just got to remember you're doing it for a reason, and you're trying to stay ready and be ready for that opportunity when it comes. And I think they did a good job here at keeping the guys in shape and obviously myself. So, I think just staying ready.
So that's a stretch of or 60 days between games in the NHL for Tyson Barry. This will be his first game in 61 days Tuesday against the Washington Capitals. Oh, and you're coming right back in to take on the number one team in the NHL. But that could not have been an easy stretch. Literally 61 days between games, and you have to, like, I feel awful for the guy when you think about how used to he's been playing. Like, you're used to being a full-time NHLer. You're used to be playing every second game. You're not used to being the number eight guy, which essentially he had been relegated to for quite some time. But, you talk to teammates. We're going to hear from Ryan Huska in just a second. Always had a smile on his face. Always kept the vibes high, always kept the energy high, and went about it with a pro. And as much as you say you feel bad for the guy, he did know what he was getting into. He was a PTO in camp. They signed him, telling him he was going to be a depth defenseman. They did not guarantee him anything. So he went into this eyes wide open, but you still got to feel good for a guy coming back in. Here's head coach Ryan Huska on how Tyson Barry has handled this last couple of months.
A very good teammate. I know in the past we talked a lot about Michael Stone. In that type of role. Tyson's been much the same where, he's had some tough days, but he doesn't show it to a teammate. He comes in and he works hard every practice day. And I think going, and whether it was, well, it's obviously coincidence, but going down on the conditioning stint when he did allowed him to get into that game action again, which puts him in a position to feel comfortable about jumping back in the lineup in a night such as tonight. So I think he's been a real good teammate, and I know with his experience that he's had, he'll be ready and a good player for us tonight.
And I just want to correct myself. When I did the calculation, for whatever reason, I put the initial date in wrong. It's 77 days between games. So that just makes it a little bit, for whatever reason, I had November 28th typed in. It is November 12th. So 77 days between NHL games for Tyson Barry. That's a significant run. 61 days was significant, but 77 days is even more significant. So, you have to be a good pro. You have to go about your business in a very positive way for that not to grind you down, for that not to beat you down. And so we'll see. Is it one game and then another extended stretch out? That's in a lot of ways up to Tyson Barry. Also, in a lot of ways, it'll be determined on Kevin Ball and how quickly he returns. But he had to play, and they were like, hey, you got to play some games. So they sent him to the American League. He gets 3 points in two games in a win and an overtime loss for the Wranglers, and then jumps right back in here on Tuesday night.
77 days is roughly 45 to 50 bag skates for Tyson Barry.
Yeah.
So to keep your mindset, to keep your spirits up, to be still a good guy in the room, almost knowing day in and day out that you're not going to necessarily get an opportunity, you got to tip your cap to Barry for maintaining his spirits over that time. And funny how the hockey world works sometimes, where you go down on a conditioning stint and you have to agree to it when you're a veteran player. You go down, you get a couple games in, and lo and behold, right back up and right back into action. So those two games with the Wranglers, absolutely invaluable to Tyson Barry in terms of jumping right back. And it's a different game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting an AHL 30 minutes a night or 25 minutes a night on the blue line there is equivalent to that of the NHL. But the sheer fact that you've got game situations under your belt as recently as this past weekend makes things a whole lot easier for Barry to excel than if this would have came after 77 days of absolutely no game action.
Yep. And hey, he'll come right back in. And the other thing, then, and we're going to dive in a little bit more on this on the roundtable, but I am interested in seeing Jake Bean and Mackenzie Weegar as a pairing, because I do feel like the way Bean has been able to kind of stabilize his game after a rocky start to his time in Calgary, he really seemed to stabilize on that pairing with Pahal. And when they wanted Weegar playing on the right, they brought Hanley in and played him on the left. Well, now Hanley is playing with Anderson, and you've got we're thinking Bean playing with Weegar tonight, and I'm really interested in that, because I think that could be a permanent look, because we know Ball and Anderson is one thing that we're used to, but could Bean and Weegar be a somewhat permanent pairing for this team as you move forward beyond this year?
Well, in the offseason when they signed Bean and you're looking at how Calgary might deploy their defensemen, it really felt like on paper he was going to be one of the two top four left defensemen on the roster. And as you mentioned, he didn't get off to the best start to his Calgary Flames tenure and really struggled a little bit. To your point, getting alongside Pahal really helped stabilize him a bit, to the point now that he is going to get an audition in this top four. Again, we don't know how long it could be. It could be five shifts. It could be five games. A lot of it will depend on Ball status, but a lot of it, like you mentioned with Barry, will depend on how Jake Bean plays. But I think this is something that I was curious or expecting to see in the offseason, Jake Bean in a top four role. Curious to see how he fares in that responsibility against the Washington Capitals. As you mentioned, not necessarily the easiest of assignments.
Nope. Oh, and just one more thing as we're talking all blue line to kick off this hour on Flames Talk. Mackenzie Weegar gave an absolutely outstanding quote on Tuesday morning about potentially replacing Alex Pietrangelo as a Team Canada defenseman for the upcoming Four Nations faceoff. This was Mackenzie Weegar when asked about that on Tuesday morning.
It's the same answer that I sort of gave before. You know, I got a great vacation booked down in Mexico that I'm willing to cancel at any time. So I'll be ready. I'm confident in my abilities to help out the country. And obviously, you hate to see a big dog like Petro go down. He's huge for the country. But whoever they pick and to replace him is going to do a fantastic job, I have no doubt. But I'm confident in my abilities to help this help my country out.
I love it. Like, I love the, yeah, I've got a great, I'm super excited about Mexico. I've got a great trip down to Mexico. I'm ready to cancel at any time. Guy, and I love that. I think it's a great message to send out there, throw out there for Hockey Canada. You're not going to get any, but I already booked to Mexico.
Well, to your point, he can afford to cancel without insurance.
I bet he got the insurance anyway. He knew he was on the taxi squad, the unofficial taxi squad. So he probably took the trip insurance. Just because you're an NHLer doesn't mean you don't have to throw your money away.
And here I thought you liked that quote because he called Pietrangelo big dog.
Big dog, Petro, big dog. I love it. Like, and that's a guy who wants to go. That quote's getting some traction on social media. The Mexico part on this Tuesday, and look. I still, if it were me, based on, you know, the way the season has gone, versatility, what we know about Mackenzie's game, it would be Weegar for me as the guy that I would be kind of nominating as the best guy to go. And there's some other names in there. We talked about Dougie Hamilton. We talked about Evan Bouchard, Brandon Montour. There are some other names that you can easily put into that conversation. There's one more that I'm missing, and I had it written down here somewhere.
Is it the Drew Doughty situation?
No, Chris Tanev. Tanev's the other name that you could put in there very easily. And then yes, Drew Doughty's kind of like this stalking horse that I wonder, just knowing his history with Team Canada, knowing his history with this management group, part of me wonders if Doughty comes back and plays 26 minutes in a couple of games before they have to name it, if they're just kind of like, yeah, you know what, it's Drew, and he's going to be using this as his ramp-up for the rest of the regular season, so there's no worry about him not going 100. Like, I still feel like, from a Hockey Canada standpoint, it's Doughty's to lose. I'd like to see it be Weegar, though.
I mean, when you do have a couple of Olympic golds in your back pocket, it might be tough. Might be tough to sway somebody in a different direction. But again, if Doughty doesn't get that runway, he doesn't get that ramp-up time with the Kings, suddenly you have a major conversation on your hands. Not that you don't already, but it would make their life a lot more difficult if Doughty wasn't able to go.
Well, I can tell you this, regardless if Drew Doughty or Mackenzie Weegar or whoever ends up replacing Alex Pietrangelo on that roster, regardless, the Four Nations face-off is taking place next month. It goes between February 12th and 20th. It's taking place in two cities, Montreal and Boston, four countries, Canada, United States, Finland, Sweden, and we are a proud partner of the event, and we're giving you the chance to win a VIP trip to watch a game. This is all through Rogers Beyond the Suite, and we are Rogers Beyond the Seat, rather, and we are giving you a suite package. It is a four pair of tickets plus travel and accommodations to the Four Nations, with a new winner being picked every week until February 7th. So how's that? Through Rogers Beyond the Seat, you're getting a four-pack of tickets, travel, and accommodations to go watch a game in either Montreal or Boston. Learn more. Enter to win at Rogers.com/Four Nations, and the Four Nations face-off is exclusively on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus. One more time, if you want to enter, and for more information, go to Rogers.com/Four Nations.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Okay, time now for a Tuesday edition of your Daily Flames Roundtable. It's brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport, from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and the Hot Stove Lounge. It's Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, and now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable, and in person for the first time in a long time. Gents, we're seeing all kinds of lineup changes and some juggles and all kinds of stuff for the Flames for this Tuesday night game against the Washington Capitals, and one of those juggles will see a brand new D pairing, one that we haven't seen, at least we're projecting this way. This is the way Morning Skate went on Tuesday. Jake Bean and Mackenzie Weegar took every D rep together, as did Tyson Berry, who returns with Braden Pahal. So if indeed we're talking about Bean and Weegar, Willsy, it's something you had brought up, I want to say like a month ago, when we were talking about ways to keep Mackenzie Weegar on the right side. You said, well, maybe they could do Bean and Weegar down the road. This may not be a long-term thing right away, but what excites you, or what do you like about the potential of those two playing together?
Well, Jake Bean, I think, is playing his best hockey right now. He's played in, after tonight, 24 of the last 25 games, and he has really good gaps. He's a puck-moving defenseman. He can skate the puck out. He can make a good first pass. And I think that that could be a fit for Mackenzie Weegar, who, he's got his strengths on the left side. I think having his stick in the middle of the ice maybe opens things up for that shot from the point. But I think everybody would agree he's probably better off being on a strong side on the right side. So bumping up Jake Bean, it's something we haven't seen this season. As a matter of fact, Jake has only played on the third pairing. You know, we've seen Joel Hanley play on all three pairings, but when Jake's been in, it's been on the third pairing, playing alongside Braden Pahal. So it's an opportunity for the Calgary kid, who has a high ceiling. You know, sometimes people forget that he was the 13th overall pick back in 2016. So, you know, he has proven that he can play at a high level. And you know, I think his consistency's been a lot better of late. And we'll have to wait and see. I mean, ultimately, you'd love to get Kevin Ball back as soon as possible so you can reunite him with Rasmus Anderson and then figure out your second pairing from there. But, you know, if Bean gets an opportunity to play with Weegar like we think he's going to tonight, and he has a good game, then there's another option for your number four defenseman. Your top three is set when everybody is healthy, but there's been a bit of a revolving door in that four spot to play in a pairing with Weegar. So let's see what Bean looks like playing alongside him tonight.
I really like Mackenzie Weegar as a right-shot defenseman playing on the right side. That's not to say that he's not good on the left side, but my preference would be to play him on the right-hand side, and playing him alongside Bean gives you that opportunity. And whether this lasts for one game, one shift, however long this experiment goes for, I still like Weegar on that right side. So having Bean as his partner allows for that. And the other thing that I appreciate in Bean's game, and you mentioned it, Willsy, is his skating. He's one of the most fluid defensemen that the Flames have. And I'm wondering how he's able to use that asset as Mackenzie Weegar's partner to help take a little bit of the load off of Weegar. Because to be perfectly honest, whether it's been Hanley, whether it's been Miramanov, I feel like a lot of the emphasis has been on Mackenzie Weegar to carry that pairing. And Rasmus Anderson gets ball, and I think we've seen them flourish together, but we haven't necessarily seen a full-time steady partner for Mackenzie Weegar. And if Bean is that fit, his skating is going to be one of those key elements that keeps him in the top four for the time being. I'm hoping that as a duo, you've got the headiness, you've got everything that we've come to appreciate out of Mackenzie Weegar's game, and then you can layer in Bean skating on top of it to help move that puck up. So it's not always just one guy that's responsible for moving it from the defensive zone to the offensive zone. That's sort of the thing that I'll be looking at with Bean as the partner for Weegar.
Well, more than anything, guys, like I think one of the priorities for this team is finding another left shot guy you can play in the top four. Because I think that we're very, very clear at this point. As good as Mackenzie Weegar is on his offside and in a lot of times kind of dragging that pairing with Miramanov along, because Miramanov has struggled at times and is coming off. He's going to be a healthy scratch against Washington, and he struggled against Winnipeg two nights ago. I think that are we all on the same page that Weegar on the right is the best long-term fit for him?
Yeah, but again, I think that offensively, he's maybe more dangerous playing on his offside, again, because his stick is in the middle of the ice. He spent almost all of last season playing on the left and scored 20 goals for the only time in his career. So I think there's something to be said about that, but having talked to Mackenzie, having talked to Flames coaches, I think he's a little bit more comfortable on the right, and they're a little bit more comfortable with him on the right, defensively speaking.
My preference would be to play him on the right, but I'm more of that lefty-righty thing. It's not necessarily a Mackenzie Weegar set thing, but my perspective, I do like Weegar just a sliver more on the right side.
I just think if you could find that permanent kind of number four guy, like the guy who slots in best behind ball, I think that's a really, really big thing for this team. And so maybe that is Jake Bean, maybe it's not. But that's a potential, because
we haven't had one.
Yeah. Exactly. And then that maybe can inform the decision as to whether or not, like, do they need to go and get somebody else between now and the beginning of next season? Like, people like, well, what about Bowen Byram in Buffalo if he's available? Well, that'd be great. Like, and maybe that is somebody they could chase. But if you find a really good fit between Bean and Weegar, maybe you don't have. Like, that's kind of why I think this is important, because I really do prefer Weegar on the right. I think the organization prefers him on the right. And I think if you can have a lefty-righty situation for your top two pairs, assuming Rasmus Anderson's here for the long term, you know, having Ball Anderson and then player X Weegar could be a really, really nice thing for this group going forward. So I'm curious to see it.
Yeah, Jake's also a really smart player. He's got a really high hockey IQ. And if you've met his dad, John, the former president and CEO of Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, you know the apple didn't fall far from the tree. And I'm anxious to see Jake playing more minutes. Now, assuming there's not a ton of special teams time in this game tonight, the most Jake has played in a game this season is 19 minutes and 9 seconds. So chances are he's going to play two or three or four more minutes playing in a top four role. So I'm anxious to see it. And, you know, it's funny. Most teams are looking for right shot defensemen, and the Flames almost have too many of them and don't have enough right shot forwards, although the guy who we're going to talk about next does fit that bill. So, you know, the Flames, they're a little heavy on the right side in defense and a lot light on the right side at forward. But, yeah, a lefty in Bean and a righty in Weegar. It's the first time we've seen it, and I'm anxious to see it tonight.
And I think it was an inevitable experiment. And, Wilsey, as Pat mentioned, you floated this out about a month ago or so. It was something that needed to happen at some point. If not for just being able to put that out of your mind if it doesn't work, you have to try it in game situations to see whether or not. Because, yes, to Pat's point, you have Ball, Anderson, and then you have Weegar. And Weegar's sort of seen a rotating cast, on whether it's on to his left or to his right, depending on if it's Hanley or Miramanov. You've got to find somebody that you can sort of put into that top four position on a full-time basis. Makes sense to give Bean an opportunity to see whether or not that's him.
The thing about Jake is he's not small, but he's not the biggest or strongest guy. So his strengths are his skating. He's a good passer, and he has a high hockey IQ. So I'm anxious to see how the fit is with Mackenzie, because I'm not sure that's a pairing you want spending a ton of time defending, but I think it's a pairing that has the ability to get the puck out of the defensive zone and transition it up the ice. So let's see what they look like tonight.
Okay, that's the defensive side of things. But the other news of the day, so two recalls on Tuesday morning. One of them was Tyson Berry, who will return to action for the first time since November 12th when he plays on what we think will be the third pairing, Berry on the left and Pahal on the right. That was how they were going through things on Tuesday morning. And then the other recall, with Rory Karens being assigned to the American League on Monday, was Adam Klapka. Klapka is going to get right back into the lineup against Washington, play on the right side of the fourth line. It'll be Bishop in the middle and Lomberg on the left. Gents, what does Klapka need to do? How does Adam Klapka be an effective NHLer for this team?
Well, first of all, I know there are some fans upset that the Flames reassign Rory Karens to the Wranglers. There's not a spot in the top nine right now. And in my opinion, yeah. Rory Karens is a top nine player. And if he's not put in that position, then you're probably putting him in a position to fail if you slot him on the fourth line. So if there's a need in the top nine, I would be surprised if Rory Karens wasn't the guy. After all, he's got 4 points in his first five career NHL games. As far as Adam Klapka is concerned, we talked about this last week. Some guys can go from being top six guys in the AHL to bottom six guys in the NHL. Some guys can't. And Adam Klapka is coming off a career year with the Wranglers, led the team in goals with 21 and points with 46 in only 65 games last season. He's having another strong season offensively in the AHL with 13 goals and 25 points in 29 games this season. But he's going to play a much different role with the Flames than he has been with the Wranglers. He's going to play a lot less minutes in the NHL than he's been playing in the AHL. And again, some guys can make that change, other guys can't. So Adam Klapka has to play with a fourth line identity, and he's got some tools. So I feel like if that fourth line plays the right way, he's going to be put in a position to use the offensive gifts that he's got. So he's got to use his feet for a big guy, and he's really worked hard on it. For a big guy, he skates pretty well. He's got to use his size. He's massive at 6'8", 235. Get in there on the forecheck, bang and crash, win battles along the boards, and get to the front of your opponent's net. Fellas, that fourth line, Flames need more from that group. This isn't a team that can just ride three lines. They need to roll four lines, at least against good teams, and that's something they really haven't been able to do on a consistent basis since the first couple of months of the season. So unless they're going to change the identity of that fourth line, what they want from that group is a line that just gets in there, hems the other team in, and yeah, sometimes you're going to get rewarded offensively for that. But more often than not, you're just going to set the table for the next line that comes on the ice. So if that fourth line with Kevin Rooney, Ryan Lomberg, and Adam Klapka can just spend significant time in the offensive zone and not defending, then I think they're doing their job. So we'll see if Klapka can help them find that identity again.
It's funny you mentioned that he's 6'8", 235 pounds, and is a pretty good skater. What helps that is he only needs to take one stride for everybody else's two strides to get up and down. And that's going to be part of the key for Adam Klapka coming into the lineup and playing on that right side, is get up and down the ice as quick as you can. When you're going north, make sure you hit somebody along the way, whether it's a defenseman going to retrieve the puck or what have you. You got to make a physical presence, and you've got to be able to use those assets that you have, whether it is your speed. Again, he might not look like the fleetest of foot out there, but again, when you cover, when your wingspan and your leg span is what it is when you're 6'8", you're afforded a little bit more in terms of getting up and down the ice. So you've got to do that. You've got to disrupt. You've got to bring energy in that whole fourth line for the Calgary Flames. Has zapped the team of energy at times over the course of the last couple of months. So go in and play an energized game. Try to play to a degree what the same way Ryan Lomberg is, except for you're blessed with more physical gifts than he is. You've got to be a disturber. You don't have to drop the gloves with everybody, but you got to make sure that that defense knows that they're going to get hit if they're going to go back and get that puck. And if you can, it's not a requirement, it's not a prerequisite. If you can chip in offensively, great, but that's not your game here. That's not what you're going to be asked to do. I think some of the things in the past that have hindered Adam Klapka at the NHL level is a little bit of that offense, but at the same time, being in and out of the lineup. And I feel like he's very much a rhythm player, where he's not a guy that can sit out for 4 or 5 or 6 days and then come in for one and then come back out and still give you. He needs to get into a flow, work himself into a flow. For me, that starts against the Washington Capitals.
I just want to reiterate that I think, and we talked about this on Monday's show, the reason why Karen's got reassigned was kind of like it was unfortunate because he had the rough game Thursday against Buffalo. They decided to sit him for one after that. They kind of reconstructed a new third line, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Kuzmenko with Pospisil and Sharangovich went off offensively in that game, and then I thought they were Calgary's most dangerous line against the Jets in the loss on Sunday. So you're kind of like, well, and Pelche's been elevated to the Kadri line, and obviously you're not breaking up Backlund with Coleman and Coronado. So it's like, okay, well, it's either Karen's on the fourth line or Karen's healthy scratched. And so I'm completely – the circumstances suck for Karen's, and I feel bad for – Karen did it went that way after getting 4 points in four games. But yeah, and that's what Brad Pascal told us on Monday, and it just makes sense. Like, it's he's way better off playing as a top line AHL center than playing 7 5-on-5 minutes on this team's fourth line. And I know that people were like, well, why would they scratch Karen's for Rooney, but then they'd take Rooney out and bring Klapkin? Like, why couldn't they scratch Rooney for Karen's? Well, that's why, because they don't want Karen's playing a bit role, kind of more on the fourth line. They feel, to your point, Wilsey, and I kind of agree on this front, there's not going to be a top nine spot open. Then there's no point in having Karen's here for the time being. Let him go back down, take what he's learned here, and tear up the American League once again. Now, for Klapka, I think it's a little bit different. He's been over here playing American League hockey a little longer, and he profiles in this league kind of more like a bottom six, big, heavy right winger. And so that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a guy to slot in with a right shot that can play fourth line minutes. And yes, I know Klapka is able to play bigger minutes in the American League and is more of an impact offensive guy there, but I think it's probably safe to say that if it's going to work in the NHL, he's probably going to be a little further down the lineup, and they can project him being that way with his size and his physicality and all that type of stuff. So just, I think it makes more sense to have an older guy with a little bit more pro experience. If you're going to be playing somebody on the fourth line, lean that way as opposed to the guy who has just four NHL games under his belt and needs minutes and time to develop. So I think Klapka's the right call. What it takes for him to be a full-time NHLer is just use those things that you guys have talked about. Like, really lean into how much of a size advantage you have on 98% of the NHL. Use that. Be consistent, go straight lines, and then maybe you can start to carve out more of a niche for yourself at the highest level.
Yeah, so at 6'8", 235, Adam Klapka is one of the biggest players in the league. Do you guys think he plays like one of the biggest players in the league?
I feel like he could play bigger. That doesn't again, that's not necessarily dropping the gloves 10 times a season.
It's not about fighting at all.
No. Again, get in on the forecheck, throw your body around, get into the front of the net, crash and bang. Those are the prerequisites for me.
And he's started to do that a whole lot more in the American League. Like, he's really grown into his size and the comfort with his size and him being able to really impose that in the minors. Now can he start to do that in the NHL, to your point? Because, no, to this point in the NHL, I don't know if he's played as big as he actually can.
And we've all spent time with Adam. Like, he's one of the nicest guys you'll meet. I'd like him to be a lot less nice on the ice. Yeah, be a nice guy off the ice. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's fun to,
yeah.
Fun to deal with him. Don't be nice on the ice. Be hard to play against. Use your size, which is a gift that not many players in this league have, and use it to your advantage. But, you know, with that said, I talked about how some guys can go from being top six guys in the AHL to bottom six guys in the NHL, and some guys can't. I think if you ask any player in this league, they will tell you that it's tough from going from playing 18 or 20 minutes a night to playing 8 or 10 minutes a night. Sometimes less than that if there are a lot of special mm-hmm. teams. So we'll see if Adam can do it. I wonder if it's maybe even more difficult for a guy his size if, you know, he's going long periods of time.
Those legs get seized up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a lot of weight to carry around. But you know what? If the Flames can get their fourth line going, it feels like they're going to be a four-line team because right now the top nine's looking good.
Yep. He's Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That's a Tuesday edition of your daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.